Yesterday we described Anyabhilasitasanyam Yanakama Anavrita Anukulena Krishna Anushilaram Bhaktya Uttama. So this is the definition of Uttama Bhakti. Okay, never mind. That's all right. Sorry. I didn't see you were wearing a chatter. In class, one must wear a chatter. So this is the definition of Uttama Bhakti, and why is it necessary to know what Uttama or pure devotional service is? Why? You have to raise your hand though. Why? We can't be cheated, and we have to worry less about being cheated by others than cheating ourselves, because the mind is a greater enemy than anyone else. And usually when we are cheated by others, it is because we want something that we shouldn't have, and therefore we find the right person to give it. Just like a person who he's feeling sick, so he goes to one doctor, and the doctor tells him, oh, you have a very grave disease and you have to fast for 2 weeks. And he gets very frightened, so he goes to another doctor. And the doctor says, oh, you have a very grave disease, you have to take this very special treatment and you have to do this and this and this. And he gets very... So then he finally goes to another doctor and says, actually, you're okay, just take an aspirin. And he said, oh, this is a very good doctor. So usually when we get cheated, it's because we have a desire in our heart to become cheated. We want an easy way out, but we should understand that in Krishna consciousness, we say it is the easiest method, and it is the easiest method, but the application is difficult in the sense that we are in the material world and we tend to be a little insincere. We have so many other things that we want other than the lotus, to serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So in one very real sense, insincerity is the only problem. Our insincerity is actually the only problem. So this pure devotional service, as defined by Srila Rupa Goswami, explains how we should practice. So we spoke yesterday about the tatastha lakshana, or the first part, or the secondary or marginal symptoms. And this secondary symptoms, when we hear the positive, of what this is, what devotional service, pure devotional service, isn't. Both are necessary to make the definition complete. For instance, if we say, like in the second part, we'll say that you have to worship Krishna with love. Okay, so that is the positive part. You have to serve Krishna, Krishna anushilanam. You have to serve Krishna with love. But someone says, well, I do serve Krishna with love from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6:15, and the rest of the day I go around shooting people. But at least during that day I'm performing pure devotional service or something like that. No, that is not correct, because the negative part can also not be there. So not only in our life do we have to do the positive part, but we also, in addition, have to avoid the negative. Both complete, make up the entire aspect of devotional service, just like the heads and the tail of the coin are both there. We cannot separate them. And in material life, the good and the bad are there. We cannot separate it in material life. So similarly, the positive and negative definition of devotional service must be there to make the definition complete. So yesterday we spoke about Anya Bilasita Sanyam Jnana Karma Anavrita. Anya Bilas Sita means the absence of any desires other than to serve Krishna within our normal, regular consciousness. We explained the point of why Anyabilas as opposed Anyabilasita as opposed to Anyabilas has been used. Sunya, these type of desires, other than service to Krishna, sunya, they become zero. Jnana, karma, anavrita. And any activities of jnana and karma that obscure or cover devotional service, any other activities in a mood that is not conducive to devotional service, but rather covers or obscures devotional service, jnana karma anavrita, that these obscuring activities cannot be there. So there are basically two parts to the tattastha lakshana, anyabhilasita sunyam, first part, and jnana karma anavrita. Jnana karma adi anavrita. That the adi means etc., like tapasya that is unfavorable, doing jagas that are unfavorable, and depending on them, because bhakti only comes from bhakti. Bhakti is independent of anything in the material world. So when we think that our devotional service is dependent on these material things, then that it is not pure devotional service. Now we move to this part over here, the Sarup Lakshana. Anukul Yena Krishna Anushilanam Bhaktir Uttama. So Bhakti Uttama is the other half of the definition. That is what it equals. This is the definition of Bhakti Uttama. And this has three parts. Anukul Yena Krishna Anushilanam. The first thing we'll discuss is the object of devotional service, and that is Krishna. Sometimes, especially in Bengal, the followers of the Ramakrishna Mission, they will say, yata mat tatavat. Whatever you follow, it is okay. All roads lead to the same place. If you worship this demigod, it is okay, because ultimately it is all one. And if you worship this demigod, or if you worship the people, Daridra Narayan, if you do welfare work for to help the poor fallen people, the poverty-stricken people, and give them food and medical assistance, they are ultimately, everyone is God, and the demigods are God, and the people are God, and if you worship yourself, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever path you take, long as you put your real bhakti, your love, you can worship your children, your wife, whatever you like, your bank balance. Actually, when I was in Hong Kong many years ago, we used to collect some donations and attempt to preach to the local Sindhi community there. And they were, very often, they were merchants, you know, shopkeepers. So in the morning when you'd come and see them, and the first thing that they'd always do in the morning is they would take out one agarbatti, and then first they would hold it up and pray to Lakshmi Devi, and then never Narayan. Narayan had no place in their shops. But Lakshmi Devi, and then they would pray to Lord Shiva, and then they would worship the cash register. And then after finishing the cash register, they would start on the bolts of the cloth. And then the opening of the doorway to the shop to get all the people to come in. And in this way, they really had no idea. Of course, they were just interested in material money. But they had no idea that what they were doing was completely ludicrous and had nothing to do with worship or bhakti at all. Because whatever you do, this is the impersonalist concept, that whatever you do, whatever you worship, long as you put your work is worship. We used to see that sign in many of the offices in the Hindu community, Indian community, that work is worship. But this is a completely, all these are impersonalist bogus philosophy. It is Krishna. This is the meaning of the word Krishna here. That Krishna is the object of the worship. Not the cash register, not Lakshmi Devi, not the poor people on the street, the unfortunates. Krishna. Bhakti has to be directed, the activities of bhakti must be directed only to Krishna. No one else. Now when we say Krishna, we don't mean that you cannot worship Lord Narayan, Lord Ramachandra, the Vishnu forms. No. These are all within the category of what Rupa Goswami means by Krishna. Krishna and his immediate expansions, Vishnu Tattva. But not the demigods. Narottama Das Thakur has said so many times in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, do not worship the demigods, do not worship the demigods, do not worship the demigods, do not worship, again and again and again. Even if we worship with great devotion the demigods or a powerful person, it is not bhakti, it is not pure bhakti. It is completely pratikul or against, unfavorable for the actual cultivation of bhakti in the heart. All our worship, love and affection has to be directed to Krishna. And when we say Krishna, we also mean those things connected with Krishna. That doesn't mean we should worship Krishna and not our Guru Maharaj, not Srila Prabhupada, not the Vaishnavas. No, no, no. These are tadiram. These are all corrected to Krishna, connected to Krishna, and they are all worshipable because they are actually, when we are worshipping the spiritual master, we are worshipping him not independent of Krishna. We are worshipping him as the representative of Krishna. If we think that worship of the spiritual master is more important than the worship of God, that is called Kartabhaja. It is upasampradaya. It is against the principles of bhakti. We know though that the Vaishnava is the spiritual master. This is Krishna's mercy. This is his Kripa Shakti. This is actually how Krishna shows mercy to the living entities in the material world through the Vaishnavas. But we never separate in any way the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, from Krishna, because we want, this is the principle here, the object of all the worship is Krishna. And the second word is anushilanam. Anushilanam means cultivation. That means that we don't just sit and do nothing, but it's an activity, an active cultivation. This is Krishna consciousness. Krishna anushilanam. It means activities that cultivate and make our devotion grow. This is Krishna anushilanam. Activities directed towards Krishna that will make our devotion grow. Krishna anushilanam. Now, Krishna anushilanam is divided into three, and then again it is divided into two. Or rather, we'll divide it into two first and then divide it into three. Krishna anushilanam means positive and negative. Krishna anushilanam means what you should do, that's the positive, and what you shouldn't do, that is the negative. This is Krishna anushilanam. This is the cultivation or activities that nurture our Krishna consciousness. And our life should be composed 100% of Krishna anushilanam. Activities that are meant to cultivate our Krishna consciousness. The anu in front of shilanam means it is meant to be continuous. 24 hours a day, this is pure devotional service. Not 23 or 16 or 2 or a half hour. Continuous. Positive and negative. So what is an example of positive things that we should do? We should chant Hare Krishna. What is an example of a negative thing that we should not do, which is Krishna anushilanam? We should not eat meat, fish, eggs, or other people. Especially devotees, even if they're offered. Especially, we can think, oh, this one, he's been eating prasadam for so many years. If I eat him, I'll be eating prasadam. No, this Rakshasa mentality should not be continued. Even though there is a story about how some man had took some prasadam, then he was eaten by a tiger, and then the tiger was killed and thrown in the ocean, and a fish ate him, and the fish became liberated because he ate the tiger who ate the man who ate the prasadam. But don't try and eat each other, even if you are very, very hungry. You should eat, we should give you enough prasadam. So that is the negative. And these two, positive and negative, of Krishna Anushilanam, can be divided into three categories. Mind, words, and deeds. So there are things we should do with our mind and things we shouldn't do with our mind. There are things we should do with our words and things we shouldn't do with our words. And there are things we should do with our activities and there are things we shouldn't do with our activities. And all together, the rules and regulations and all the prohibitions and all the activities that we should do all together, that is known as Anushilanam. And when they are directed to Krishna, that cultivation is called Krishna Anushilanam. Now, these are described in great detail. Krishna Anushilanam is described in great detail in all the books. What are the actual practices of devotional service? They are called sadhana, which means practices, and the sadhanas of devotional service the basic sadhanas are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. Always. This is the basic practice of Krishna consciousness. There are nine elements of devotional service, or angas, or parts, or limbs of devotional service. They can be also described in other ways. They can be described as the five basic ones that will be described in the Nectar of Devotion, or the 64 items of devotional service, which will also be described in devotional service. And all we are talking about is Krishna Anushilanam. What we should do and what we shouldn't do with our words, our mind, and our deeds. This is Krishna Anushilanam. So what are some examples with our words on the positive side of Krishna Anushilanam? What's an example? Raise your hand and I'll start calling.
Preaching.
Preaching, right. Okay, what's another example of our words? Using our words. Yes, chanting Hare Krishna, another example.
Singing
bhajans.
Reciting slokas.
Talking about Krishna Katha and?
Among devotees.
And talking about everything connected with Krishna. Tadiyanam samacharam. Everything connected with Krishna is Krishna. That means Krishna's devotees, Krishna's dham, Krishna's pastimes, like the battle of Kurukshetra. Now, this point is brought out in the purport by Prabhupada, that we talk about Kurukshetra, we will go visit Kurukshetra. Are we interested in a battlefield? No, we're not interested in a battlefield, but this battlefield we're interested in because it has a connection with Krishna. And going to a holy place, meeting with holy people, and discussing and hearing Krishna Katha, this is Krishna Anushilanam. Now what is an example of something we should not do on the negative side with our words? Yes. What? Yeah, we should not. What does blaspheme devotees mean? Offend them. What does offend them mean? Keep going. Yeah.
Criticize unnecessarily.
Criticize unnecessarily.
Finding fault.
Especially with an envious heart in nature in our heart. Now sometimes, especially if we're managing, our business is to criticize and find fault. And a spiritual master's business is to criticize and find fault with the disciple. It's his business. If he doesn't criticize and find fault, he's not doing his business. So is that satam ninda? Is that saru ninda? No. Why?
It's difference between correcting and criticizing.
What is the...
According to Vaishnava, when one he is not envious and is in position or was asked to correct him.
Okay, not envious. That's okay. That's on the negative side. So we're learning that definitions have positive and negative sides. So what's the positive side of not envious when dealing with someone?
Praying.
Huh?
Praying devotee.
Yeah, you want, you're the person's well-wisher. An envious person, he wants to see you go down. And a person who loves you, has affection for you, pretty affection, wants to see you come up. And when someone who has affection for you, who wants to see you come up, tells you, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, then we feel one thing. And if someone who hates us and wants to kill us tells you, you shouldn't do this, we'll feel something different. So when we have affection, and this is the key in management, and of course also being spiritual master, but in management it's not as easy. But the key in doing that type of criticism is it should be done with priti, or affection. This is the secret of success. And it's not easy sometimes. But this is the secret of success. And very often, when there's criticism going around, we are right about the other person. But our motive isn't pure. You've done this, and you've done this, and you've done this. Yes, it's correct. You've done that, and it's not correct. But my motive isn't pure. My heart isn't clean. I'm envious. So therefore, the proper effect will not be there. And usually if we say, you've done this, you did this and this and this, this, what's the natural reaction of the person if our heart isn't pure in wishing the other person's welfare? What is the natural reaction? What? What? Okay, now what else happens? Yeah, what else happens? Yeah. What do you mean I did that? Well, you did the same thing 2 weeks ago. Not only that, you did this, this, and this, and this. Yeah? Well, I did that, and that. Well, you did this. And in this way, hell breaks out. And war breaks out, and it doesn't help. So that is the... what we should not, with our words, blaspheme devotees. And this is what it means. If there is no enviousness in the heart, it is not improper. It is improper if there's enviousness in the heart. What's an example with the mind on the positive side? Yeah. Yes, this is actually the essence of all rules and regulations. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. Who knows the Sanskrit of that? I'll probably quote it every day. Kinkara means servant. So this, all the other rules and regulations are servants of this one, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is the essence. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Manmana. Engage your mind in thinking of me, Krishna said. So what's an example of what we shouldn't think of? Maybe we shouldn't talk about those examples. We already know. So many things. Anything that doesn't help us advance in Krishna consciousness, all the lusty desires which are sitting in our heart, we should not do lust anusilanam and cultivate them by thinking about them. When I first, when myself and Mataji, my wife, were first in Hong Kong, we had just been devotees for a very short time, and the local Hindu temple on Hong Kong side, they gave us one tulsi plant. And then because we were living in Chung King Mansion, actually, in one little guest house room. There was no light in the room at all, and we didn't know anything about worshipping Tulsi. And the plant actually died. It was very stringy with two leaves on top when we got it anyway. And it died. But as while it was, before it died, there was a little plant coming up right next to it. And someone told us, this is another Tulsi plant. So for about 2 months, we worshipped a weed.
Namo, namo.
This is kam anushilanam. This is improper. We should not worship the weeds. We should pull them out. We should not cultivate them. We should not water them carefully and dig up the ground around them and make sure that they grow nicely. No. So there are so many weeds. We mentioned them yesterday. Nisidarcha kutinati jivahim san labha puja pratishtari yato upasakagan. Upasakagan means weeds. Unnecessary creepers that are near the other creeper. So that's what we should not think of. And with our body, what is on the positive side? What should we do on the positive side with our body? Because we remember we're talking about Krishna and Shilanam, the positive and the negative, words, mind, and body. On the body, what should we do?
Serve the Vaishnavas.
Okay, very good. Serve the Vaishnavas.
Record the lecture.
Record the lecture. Sit there with a tape recorder. In this particular case, it's probably not so good. But cleaning the temple, cooking for Krishna, distributing books, teaching, sitting and learning, offering arti, playing the madanga, playing kartals. Huh?
And also taking the dust from the Vaishnavas and the water from the feet.
Yeah, and the, might as well say the third one, the remnants of their food. Eating prasadam. Everyone's favorite seva. Prasadam seva. And what shouldn't we do with our body? So many examples. We should not go to the movies. We should not watch television. We should not play cricket. We should not play cricket. I didn't say we should play cricket. We shouldn't play football. We shouldn't do any of these, anything that that is not connected with Krishna and will not help our Krishna consciousness advance. Drive fast racing cars, go to the horse races. So many things we should not do. These are prohibitions. And actually speaking, they will be listed. All these prohibitions are listed in the Nectar of Devotion. What we should not do and also what we should do is also listed. Then the third element of this definition of the Swarup Lakshana, the positive side, what we should do as Krishna, as what is devotional service, is anukul yena. Anukul yena means the thing that we're doing Krishna Anushilanam is thinking about Krishna devotional service, Krishna Anushilanam. Now you know I'm trying to trap you, so everyone's very cautious. But to answer it simply, so I can...
Prabhupada gives an example that Kamsa, for example, all the time you think about Krishna.
I didn't want you to say that. That's the point I wanted to say. But you already know this already, that thinking about Krishna is the essence and the purifying thing, manmana bhava madbhakto. But it has to be in a favorable way. Not like, Krishna, I wonder if I could kill him. Like Haranyakashipu, I want to kill Vishnu. He has killed my brother Haranyaka. I will capture him and I will pierce him with my trident. And he was always thinking about Vishnu in that way. So that, although it is thinking about Krishna, so to make the distinction between the Kamsa mood and the residents of Vrindavan mood, this word anukul has been placed there. That the thinking and all the Krishna anusilanam has to be done in a favorable mood, meant for Krishna's pleasure. That everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Not to hurt Krishna.
I don't remember exactly, but I think it's seventh canto.
Seventh canto, first chapter.
It's verse in which Narada Muni said that or Maharaj Yudhishthira that even if one comes to Krishna with fear, lust or some other, since he also attained goal.
Yes. Fear, and this, there's some very important and famous verses in the first chapter of the seventh canto, which is the prelude to Narada Muni explaining the story of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj and Nrisingadev. So, in the beginning of that, there's some verses by Narada Muni that explain that there are, even if you think about Krishna in love or anger or lust or envy or fear, still you will become purified. So it is a fact that when you think about Krishna out of enmity, it is very, very, very powerful. And just like when you hate somebody and you really hate them, you can't get them out of your mind no matter what you do. You can't get them out of your mind. So this is spontaneous, always thinking of Krishna. But Prabhupada explains in the purport to this, to these verses, on the charges, and Prabhupada have explained that the real purpose in all these points is to show the potency of always thinking about Krishna. And yet, although Kamsa was always thinking about Krishna, it was not in a devotional mood. And therefore, he could not achieve Brajaprem, for instance. Rather, what happens to someone who is envious of Krishna, tanaham dvishita kroram samsareshu naradama chipram madhusarama suram asureshe vyonashu. What happens to them, rather than actually getting benefited, at least for one life, of course thinking about Krishna is always beneficial, but at least for one life they have to go down. They get placed into an abominable species of life, birth after birth after birth, if they're inimical to Krishna. Tanaham dvishata krodan samsareshu naradama. These kind of people get placed into very inauspicious positions birth after birth. So when this point is made in the seventh canto, that thinking about Krishna is glorious, yes, because the demons, if they are killed by Krishna, they will go to the Brahma Jyoti. So that is glorious. But the demons go to Brahma Jyoti. We don't want to go to Brahma Jyoti. The real point is not to encourage us to become like Kamsa and Sisupal, to think of Krishna with enmity, but rather to encourage us to always think about Krishna and let us understand the potency of always thinking about Krishna. That is the conclusion that the acharyas have explained.
So what happens if, in a rare case, like a person like Kamsa, if you think the last moment of death of Krishna, but in a very envious mood,
of course it's possible. We'll go to, if no, he won't necessarily go to Brahma Jyoti. If he is killed personally by Krishna, he will go to Brahma Jyoti.
But he's not killed
personally
by Krishna?
Very difficult.
Huh?
I don't know where he goes, but I don't want to go to that place. Tanaham, this is what the acharyas explain, that it has to be anukul, the mood must be anukul. And these verses where it describes that we should think about Krishna in any way are just talking about the potency and the of remembering Krishna, but we should do it in the devotional line, in this mood, of favorable. There is, we have actually to get the braja, we have to specifically think about Krishna in the mood of the one of the residents of Vrindavan even. Just thinking about him generally will not get to, just thinking Krishna, 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 and we're thinking, we're not thinking about him in the mood of the those who love him from Braja, we cannot get to Braja. And that is our destination, so we should follow that path, not the Kamsa path.
Jai Vijay. Jai Vijay. So they are actually serving favorably because God wants to
But they were right. It gave, undoubtedly everything gives Krishna pleasure. Right? Undoubtedly everything gives Krishna pleasure because he is composed of Ananda, Sajidananda. But their mood wasn't to give Krishna pleasure. Their mood wasn't to give Krishna pleasure as Aranyakashipu. He was trying to kill Krishna. He was fighting with him. Hari Baba, this means... Anukul means that for it to be considered pure devotional service, your mood has to be favorable to give Krishna pleasure. Otherwise, it is not pure devotional service. You want to say but?
Okay. Because Krishna wants to fight people.
Because in every class, there is always a yeah but. Jagadish Maharaj coined this phrase, a yabbit, he calls it. A yabbit. When you talk to them, they say, yeah, but. Yeah, but. So there's always, of course, we're all yabbits to some degree. Anyway, yeah, but.
My point is, they are in that mood because Krishna wants them to...
But their case is very, 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 very unique. In any case, their case is very, very unique because they were in Krishna Loka. And they came down. But their mood is not of pure devotional service. In Aranyakashipu, Aranyaksha, Ravana, Sisupal, Kumbhakarna, they were not in the mood of pure devotional service. So we should not adopt those moods and say, well, Ravana was trying to kidnap Sita, so therefore I can. And that, and Ram had the opportunity to fight, so therefore I'll give Krishna an opportunity to kill me. And that way I'll give Krishna pleasure. It is clearly a demonic mood, not the mood of Uttama Bhakti.
We don't adopt that mood because Krishna wants something else from us.
Yes.
He wants us to be pure.
Yes. So, and they were not in that mood, so we will not say they are pure devotees. Any other questions? Yeah.
Isn't there a statement by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that anyone who says Krishna favorably or unfavorably ultimately will become a devotee in paying
Bhagavad? Not exactly. But there are statements that glorify the holy name, saying that even just by saying the holy name, this is explained, Namabhasya Hoite Hai Sarva Papachai, that all sins go just by uttering the holy name. So that is a fact. But that will not bring us to Braja. That is Namabhas. Namabhas can bring liberation, but it cannot give prem. Prem is something different. Shudanam.
But will these people make progress? They chant Namabhas, then next night they make...
But it is not pure devotional service in this way. Yeah, we want everyone to chant Krishna. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, when, and Prabhupada also, when there was a newspaper article, they would say, I don't like Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada would say, see, they are making progress just by saying Krishna's name. And it's a fact. But it is not pure devotional service. It is not in the, even though they are, it is beneficial for them, it is not in the mood of pure devotional service. And we've actually seen this many times. In the West, people will go chanting on Harinam parties. And I remember one incident where the devotees would chant in New York City around Central Park, and they would chant, the devotees would come, and there would be many people selling things there. And these people selling things would become very angry. And they, Hare Krishna's are here, Hare Krishna's are here, oh, we don't want them to be here. Hare Krishna's are here, and they'd imitate, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the this would happen for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and then the devotees wouldn't come for some time. And then the devotees would come back, and those same people would say, where were you? We miss you. So undoubtedly, they had incredible benefit. They got, somehow or another, they got the sweet taste and unlimitedly purified, because this is, see, Krishna Anushilanam, all these things connected with Krishna, they are not of the material world. Goloketa Premadana Harinama Sankirtana Narottama Dasa said, that all activities of Krishna and Rishilanam are descending. As Rupa Goswami will describe, they're all descending from the spiritual strata. They're all Krishna's antaranga shakti, his internal energy. And the process of Krishna consciousness is the process of coming in contact and the jiva, the badajiva, the jiva soul, taking shelter of the internal energy. We are tiny and we can never be independent. Just like the bank of the river is either in the water or in the land, it is not a separate entity. Similarly, the jiva souls cannot be independent, separate. It can, even though we are spiritual, like the internal energy, we have a tendency to come under the control or be colored by the external energy. So we either have to be under the shelter of the internal energy or under the shelter of the external energy. So the process of Krishna consciousness is the process of changing our shelter, the Vadajiv, the conditioned soul, changing from being always under the shelter of the Maya Shakti, the external energy in the mood of Ishwaraham Maham Bhogi Siddham Balavan Sukhi, that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, changing that to his taking shelter of the internal energy. So when we take shelter of the internal energy in the sadhaka stage, that means taking shelter of it through these rules and regulations. And then when that shelter is mature, then Krishna gives us his mercy due to the mercy of the Vaishnavas, and then we go to the bhava stage and then the prema stage. But it's a matter of changing the shelter, just like if we had a crystal and if we put it in front of the blue wall, it looks blue. But it isn't blue, it's crystal. And if we put it in front of the green desk, it's green. So we are now under the, we are like the crystal, although spiritual, we have now taken shelter and have adopted the color of the material energy. And therefore we have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease, although we are spiritual and we can never die. And the process of Krishna consciousness is changing over our shelter to take shelter of the internal energy. And that means that all these practices of Krishna and Ashilanam, they are not of the material world, otherwise they could not give, they cannot help us in our Krishna consciousness. They are connected with the internal energy. They are given by the spiritual master and the exalted acharyas. All the processes, all the elements of bhakti are spiritual. And to not think they are is maya and mayavad philosophy. So it's a very important point. Prabhupada explains it at great length in his introduction. Any other questions or points? Yeah,
Krishna. How about somebody attached to a certain kind of service, also pure devotion? And all Brahma, he attached to create a world.
Yeah, and all of us. See, there's a difference between bhakti and karma yoga, a technical difference. Karma yoga means that you do what you like to do for Krishna and then give him the fruit. Or if it's a lower stage of karma yoga, this will be explained by His Holiness Dhanadhar Swami in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. No pens allowed in the mouth. That is not, it is pratikul. So karma yoga means you do what you like to do and then you surrender and then you give the results to Krishna. And bhakti is what you surrender first. You first surrender and then do your activities for Krishna and naturally the results. Because karma yoga leads to bhakti, it is also considered bhakti. But technically speaking, there's a difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga. So when we are still doing what we like to do, technically speaking, it is not. But actually speaking, because it leads to it, it is. Our mood should be everything for Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada speaks of, oh, I need to follow.
So therefore, Well, that's surrender to the spiritual master. If he orders us to do something, we do it whether we like it or not. It doesn't mean that because we like to do something that we shouldn't do it. Sometimes, like Arjuna, he was a warrior, so he was fighting. And Krishna gave him so many reasons why he should fight. He told him, you can go to the heavenly planets. And ultimately, he said, you should fight because it's your duty. But ultimately, the reason why he said to fight and the reason why Arjuna did fight was because Krishna wanted him to. So then it was pure bhakti. Even though he was attached to fighting, what made it pure bhakti was because he surrendered to Krishna. So don't think that because you like to do something, you can't do it. The point is surrender. And that is the beginning of bhakti.
Probably explains how we have to follow the instructions of the spiritual master for it to be connected with Krishna.
Yes.
And the word anu means to follow. So I was wondering if that word
anu
also refers to how we should.
We always have to follow.
If there's a dual meaning in the word.
In Sanskrit, there are dual meanings in everything. There are Sanskrit novels I've heard, although I don't know Sanskrit, written. And then you, one set of words, and you could have one story out of it, or you could read it another way in a completely different story. This is the glory of Sanskrit.
What if one is attached to a particular activity or thing so that they can advance Krishna consciousness?
Then, if he gets it authorized by his spiritual master, then it is very good.
That's the author.
Of course, because the physician never prescribes for himself, he goes to a doctor. If we decide for ourselves what's good for ourselves, then we will get ourselves in trouble by ourselves. The doctor, when he is sick, he goes to a doctor. Because you need objectivity to see if something is good for you or you're doing it because you want to do it. Computer is material, but the expertise of the spiritual master is, and this Prabhupada did this so incredibly, because he gave facility for us to engage all our tendencies in Krishna's service. And if we had to just be very, very simple monk-like personalities, we couldn't do it, most of us. But we can use all our tendencies in Krishna's service because this Krishna consciousness movement is so huge. And it's such a powerful preaching movement that anything, whether it's drama, computers, family life even, teaching, anything, music, all these things are used in Krishna's service. And therefore they will become purified. But if we just had to live in the forest and chant Hare Krishna, If it was either that or nothing, unfortunately for most of us it would be nothing. This is actual situation.
When should we accept that spiritual master? Maybe approach a spiritual master.
Say that again?
When should we accept a spiritual master? And so when in fact we are not able to we do not know the one of our spiritual master.
So you shouldn't accept a spiritual master until you know what a bona fide spiritual master is. So therefore ISKCON has specific policies. First you worship Prabhupada for 6 months, then after you read certain books, and then when you understand how to distinguish between a spiritual master or you want to find out who Krishna is acting through to you, then you choose. But the basic condition is when you realize that you need help. Until you realize you need help, there is no need to accept the spiritual master. If you think that, oh, by my own intelligence, by my own skills, then I can make some advancement, then you shouldn't accept the spiritual master. Or if we think, oh, everyone else is accepting a spiritual master, and I've been here for 6 months anyway, so I should accept the spiritual master. That we shouldn't accept the spiritual master. It should be when we have, when we're in, understand Arjuna's position. What chapter of the Bhagavad Gita are you up to now? In Dhanadamarja's class?
First.
So when you get to the second chapter, the beginning of the second chapter, we hear how Arjuna, he, in the first chapter, in the first 10 verses, or 6 or 7 verses of the second chapter, Arjuna gives so many reasons why he shouldn't fight. But his conclusion is that he's confused. So despite all our great intelligence and our so many talents, when we realize we're confused and we can't, we don't know what to do, then we accept the spiritual master. When we really know that I need help, and then Krishna will send us the spiritual master. Now, although we could keep, we'll have more time for questions and answers day by day, but I think we pretty much covered the introduction. Would anyone here raise your hand if you think that we need more time on the introduction? We'll go over the introduction because you've read it twice. You should have read it twice. Has anyone not read it twice? Raise your hand. Admit it. Okay. One of the things we learn in the teacher training course is not to ask a question like, has everyone read this? Because why? Everyone gets confused when you ask that because no one knows if everyone has read it. Right? You only know if you have read it. So you either ask, if anyone has not read this, raise your hand, or who has read it, whoever has read it, raise your hand. You don't ask, has everyone read it, which is the tendency. Okay, so if you, so who thinks we could use another day on just going over Prabhupada's introduction, the purport? It's basically, if you read it carefully, you'll see that it's basically followed this word by word explanation. Anyone raise your hand if you think so? Okay. Now, when we have our test, I'll tell you now that I'm going to ask you about this verse and to explain it word by word. I'm telling you right now, so you might as well memorize it. And even those of you who are here only for 1 week, you'll unfortunately miss the test, but you should memorize it anyway, because it's very, very important. Now, the thing I forgot to say, at the end of the introduction, Rupa Goswami quotes another verse from Narada Pancharatna, Pancharatra, which basically defines pure devotional service in the same way, and Prabhupada explains that in the last two paragraphs of his introduction. Sava upadi vinir muktam tat paradvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uttama uchite, excuse me. Bhakti uchite. This is bhakti uttama, that is bhakti uchite. That this means it's pure devotional service, and bhakti uchite means this is called bhakti. Sava upadi, when you give up all upadis or identifications of who you think you are and identify yourself as a devotee of Krishna. Sava upadi vinirmuktam, all upadis or designations. I am American, I am 46 years old, I am male, I am this, I am that, I am a GBC, I am a teacher, I have white skin, I am 5'9.5", I have a size 10 shoe, I am married. All these are upadis. They are like layers or identifications over the soul. So when those identifications, all these upadis, sava, all upadis, vinirmuktam, given up, free from that, and tatparadvena, nirmalam means pure. When one is purely engaged as a devotee of Krishna, serving Him always with all one's endeavors, that's like Krishna Anushilanam, then Rishikena, with the senses, Rishikesha, serving Rishikesh, the master of the senses. Rishika means senses, Isha means master, Rishikesha means Rishika Isha, Rishikesha means the master of the senses. When we serve the master of the senses with the senses, thinking ourselves not anything other than His servant, eternal soul, His part and parcel, His servant, that is called bhakti. So that is Rupa Goswami's Shastric scriptural confirmation of the verse that he has composed himself, meaning basically the same thing. Now, who has a copy of the homework? I want to give you the homework assignment. My sheet has disappeared, unfortunately.
What does that person mean?
It means being devoted to God, basically, and serving Him for His pleasure. Serving Krishna for His pleasure, in a favorable mood, for His delight. For this, Sava Upadhi Vinaya Muktam, you should learn it. Do you have a copy of it anywhere? I told you yesterday where it is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You should look. And it will, in a few days after you all clean our library reading room, the reading room will be open. Unfortunately, we're missing a librarian, so that's what's holding us up, one of the things holding us up. Are you volunteering to be the librarian? Do you have volunteering? It's not open, so no time.
You expect after school hours? I can do that after school hours.
Yeah, I know. But everyone wants to go. Anyway, we'll see. Krishna will work it out. Now the next thing that we're going to read, and it will take us probably 2 days to get through this. Read all of pages. Not all of pages. Chapter 1. Read up to from page 3 to page 10. Happiness and Krishna consciousness, which is about in the middle of the page 10. Okay, thank you very much. Tomorrow we shall meet again. Jai Shri Prabhupada.